Hello.
Okay. Let's try that. Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night here at Beyond the Airwaves, the Infinity Project. And since it's Wednesday, it's our wild card. And tonight, it's Secrets of the Unknown. And tonight, we're doing things a little bit strangely because, you know, the Super Bowl's on Sunday. So I did a little looking up and said, let's see if we can find some, like, haunted sports venues. Turns out there's a lot more than we thought.
Any in Phoenix?
I'm not sure about Phoenix. But what I do know is this. Tonight's going to be a really, really weird night because there's actually been some hauntings in sports arenas around the world, not just in the U.S. So anyway, I'm your host for tonight. I am Oddball Extreme. Of course, Tim, Red Ranger Tim, is normally the host for this show. Right, Tim?
Yes, but since our Oddball Extreme is now the official co-host of the program, she is the one who found tonight's topic, so I'm letting her take the lead tonight.
Oh, well, thank you. And we also have our AZ Magician. Good evening to you, Maja. Janet,
okay.
You there?
Hello.
I'm here.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah, we just said hi.
I'm here, but I'm a million miles away. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
I'm about 12 hours ahead of myself. Thank you.
Yoo-hoo.
Good morning. All right. So we also have Sanjo and Ash in the chat room. So, hey, guys, what's up? All right.
Sorry, I'm a million miles away.
Let's see. If you're a million miles away, let's see. No, the sun is 93 million miles away, so that wouldn't work. All right. Well, anyway, we're going to get to the topic at hand. Was the haunted sports venues, because with the Super Bowl being on Sunday, you know, it's going to be in Miami. The weather's going to be perfect, and you couldn't have anything go wrong, but... But it got me curious, like, okay, we needed a topic of secrets of the unknown. So something in the back of my mind saying, what if there are any haunted sports stadiums? Turns out there's a lot more than we thought.
Oh, my. So
I'm going to put them into the chat. Let's see. Here we go. And this first one is courtesy of theculturetrip.com. So, this is by Michael Lore, and he wrote this on October 26, 2016. Most of these are dated around Halloween, so that's actually not bad. Okay, so anyway, athletes are very superstitious people, whether it's utilizing the same routine or a pair of socks or underwear, while on a hot streak.
What was that about underwear?
They utilize the same routine, or one pair of socks, or one underwear. Okay, yeah. While on a hot streak, or drastically altering habits or hairstyles when cold, there is an air of the spiritually unknown when it does come to sports. So maybe it's no surprise rumors and sightings of ghosts and apparitions and whispers or of curses can be found among stadiums worldwide. So here's a few of them. Let's see, starting with Frontier Field in Rochester, New York. Now here's interesting. Psychic paranormal researchers officially declared Frontier Field, home of the Rochester Red Wings, a minor league baseball team, haunted in 2004. Rochester Paranormal Research Director Joe Burkhart and psychic medium Cindy Lee toured the grounds and encountered a variety of ghosts referred to as Caspers in the trade. Lee was greeted by friendly apparitions, while Burkhart discovered some a little more hostile. The Caspers were very curious about us, Burkhart said. They literally came out of the woodwork and started coming toward us. A Red Wings employee said bones were discovered when the stadium was being built in 1995. That discovery, coupled with rumors of the stadium being haunted, led to Burkhart and Lee being summoned to explore the grounds. When we walked in, you could feel them, Lee said. You could feel all the spirits suddenly realizing there were at least two people who could see them, hear them, and feel them. And there's a video below. You can watch that whenever. I'm not going to say anything. But anyway, next up is Estadio Hernando Siles in La Paz, Bolivia. So, was it a ghost? A lighting blunder? An aerial camera? Video editing? No one knows for sure what shadowy figure glided through the stands during a Copa Libertadores Round of 16 match between the Strongest, Bolivia, and Defensor Sporting from Uruguay on April 17, 2014. With Defensor holding a two to nothing advantage in stoppage time, this figure was caught on camera swiftly moving through the lower level seats. Maybe it was trying to beat post game traffic.
Oh my!
But how interesting! One of the, you hear one of the names of the teams, Tim? Defensor.
Oh yeah!
The Protector Bot. It's like, well, what do you know? We got a little Transformer sighting in there, too.
Yes.
All right, next up is Ghazi Stadium in Kabul, Afghanistan. During the late 1990s, the stadium was used as a venue for public executions by the Taliban government. It was said the souls of those who lost their lives inside the stadium still haunt the ground. It has caused some to avoid the ground at all costs at night. Now, nobody comes here in the evening. Even we don't go inside, said Nabil Khari, a security guard. Everyone believes the place is haunted, that the souls of the dead people are not at rest even now. The stadium underwent a major renovation and was reopened in 2011, transforming the former death and torture venue into one reborn as Afghan Sporting Hope. All right. Next up, oh, this is a classic, the University of Notre Dame.
Ooh.
You're kidding. They're haunted?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Many people are familiar with the famous movie quote, "Win Just One for the Gipper," ranked number 89 in AFI's 100 Years, 100 Movie Quotes, but not many know its etymology. George Gipp, the University of Notre Dame football player who was portrayed by Ronald Reagan in Newt Rockne, All-American, tragically died at the age of 25 in 1920 after contracting pneumonia. Unable to access his residence hall after a night out, Gipp, the school's first All-American, slept on the steps of Washington Hall one December evening, got sick, and later died. Legend has it, shortly after his death, students started hearing strange noises in the building. Papers would rustle, and horns would mysteriously sound late at night.
Whoa. I think that would scare the crap out of me.
Yeah. Then we also have St. Mary's Stadium in Southampton, UK. It is said that spirits from tombs excavated near the grounds haunted the soccer stadium of Southampton FC. The belief and concern was so strong that a witch was summoned to rid St. Mary's of evil spirits in 2001. Siridwan Dragon O'Connolly, a pagan witch and archaeologist, sprinkled water from a wooden chalice outside the building, urging any bad influences to be at peace or depart from the ground. I performed a ritual there, and because of my upbringings, I did it in Welsh, she said. I performed a cleansing of the ground in Celtic tradition, but athletes are a very superstitious bunch, and I did a blessing for some positive energy, and obviously it worked.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of that type of history in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it.
That's true. Okay. Now, I got another place here. Now, this one's more like in North America. Now, one of the four in this story I have already talked about, so it's Frontier Field. So I'm going to actually skip that one since we already talked about it.
All right.
Because I don't believe in, talking about the same thing again. All right, so here we go. And this is from ESPN, and this was actually this past Halloween. So... Alright, so this would be time of year, we know that part. I'm just going to go straight to the point. This is one you would not think of. The Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. It's not just the ghost of the Hartford Whalers that roams the Hall of Fame, although we really could get behind a brass bonanza playing spirit. Visitors have long reported seeing a woman with long, dark hair, particularly in and around the second floor women's restroom. Formerly housed at Exhibition Place, a 197-acre mixed-use development to the west of downtown Toronto, the Hall of Fame moved to its current building at the Brookfield Place complex in 1993. Built originally in 1885, it formerly housed the Bank of Montreal, and that is where the sad story begins. Spirit is believed to be a former bank employee named Dorothea. In 1953, the 19-year-old shot herself in the women's bathroom at the bank. She died at the hospital the next day. There are many rumors and theories as to what caused Dorothea to take her life, but none has ever been confirmed. The Toronto Star discovered the presumed identity in 2009 after years of reports of a ghost named Dorothy. According to Arena Brooke, the brand development manager of Haunted Walks in Toronto, bank workers began experiencing strange happenings shortly after Dorothea's death. Starting in the 1950s, employees of the bank would have lights that would turn on and off, Brooks said. Doors and windows would open and close on their own. They would hear these strange noises like footsteps when no one was around or shrieking. Some employees would step away from their work for a moment, and they would come back and find their desk in disarray. But the main thing they said is they would feel this distinct presence, like someone else was there, was watching them. Just that feeling that there was someone else, just that feeling that there was someone else there. And the spot it was the strongest was actually the women's bathroom on the second floor of the bank. It got to this point where the employees who were using that restroom were so uncomfortable being in there that the bank had to put a second bathroom in the basement because so many people were refusing to use it. The bank ultimately moved, but the strange occurrences remain. Employees and guests of the Hall of Fame have reported hearing similar noises and experiencing the same overwhelming sense of not being alone. Brooks says an employee at the Hall shared with her a story of a young boy on a tour of the museum with his parents and other adults. At one point, he stopped in his tracks and began staring intently at a wall. Someone asked him what was wrong, and he responded by pointing and saying, "Can you see her?" No one could see anything or anyone, but the young boy was insistent he was seeing a woman with long, dark hair walk in and out of the wall. He couldn't believe that no one else could see her. Stories like this have made it one of the most well-known haunted spots in the city, and Haunted Walks begins one of its most popular tours outside the building with the permission of the Hall of Fame. The Hall, which did not respond to the ESPN's request for a comment to the story, doesn't necessarily promote its haunted history, but it did allow Haunted Walks to host a special Halloween event on the second floor in 2013. Brooke remembers it well. "Our special Halloween tour ended on the second floor in a room not far from the restroom," she said. During the final part, one man left the group to go use the facilities. When he came back, he went to one of the guides and he told him that he heard what sounded like a terrified woman screaming in the restroom next door. He was visibly shaken and wanted to know if we had heard it and what was going on. "I was standing right there with everyone else and none of us heard a thing. We were so close to where he was, we would have heard something like that if it were a woman crying out like that. It really creeped all of us out to discover that he had heard that when no one else had. There have just been so many different encounters with her that I certainly believe that something is going on in the building."
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, now, like I said, I'm going to skip over the Frontier Field because we already talked about it. But here's an interesting one. The Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Is it spelled P-H-I-S-T-E-R or F-I-S-T-E-R?
It's actually spelled P-F-I-S-T-E-R.
Okay, that's like the Pfister,
the
I think.
The faucet,
faucet,
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, anyway, Rowan is not exaggerating when he says there are several players who don't want to stay at the Pfister Hotel when taking on the Brewers in Milwaukee. There are countless stories from players around the MLB about their strange encounters while guests at the swanky establishment. In hopes of creating the grandest hotel in the city, Guido Pfister began work on the hotel in the late 19th century. He died a month before its opening, but his son Charles was determined to carry out his father's vision. It opened in 1893, and it was immediately successful. It had hosted every sitting U.S. president during its esteemed history. Charles Pfister, who never married or had children of his own, worked tirelessly for the rest of his days to ensure his father's legacy carried on at the property. Charles even lived in one of the suites for many years and was the operations manager. And some say he never left the hotel after his death in 1927. Guests have described seeing an older, portly, well-dressed, smiling spirit who resembles Pfister's portrait still hanging in the hotel. He has been spotted looking over the lobby as well as various other parts of the hotel and has become something of an adored figure in the city, complete with his own parody Twitter account.
Oh, my.
"I think when you know a little bit about Charles, it's not a surprise that he's the most seen apparition," said Anna Lardinoy. local historian, writer, and founder of Gothic Milwaukee. All the ghost stories we hear are really just about him still trying to delight people. When people report that they see him, it's usually in conjunction with something in the atmosphere of the room changing, like lights brighten or dim, curtains open or close. And it really seems that he is still trying to just make the hotel experience as wonderful as it could be. Professional baseball players seem to have had the most experiences with Pfister's ghosts over the years. Lord Noy believes this is simply Pfister trying to help out his hometown Brewers and give them the ultimate home field advantage. She also wouldn't be shocked if some of the incidents were actually players playing pranks on their teammates, but does think these opposing players bring out Pfister's mischievous side. It is my understanding that it was very common to harass traveling teams during Charles Pfister's lifetime, Lardinoy said. Being at home meant not just knowing the feel and the conditions, but you've got to have spit-free food and you rested comfortably. Fans used to go to the hotels
spit
where the traveling
free food?
Spit-free food, yes.
Oh, my.
Fans used
that
to go to the hotels.
That sounds a little gross.
I know. Fans used to go to the hotels where the traveling teams were staying and pound down on their windows all night. It's pretty well known that if you're a Milwaukee Brewer and you stay at the Pfister, you're going to sleep like a little tiny angel. But if you're playing against the Brewers, it's reportedly supposed to be a very rough night. And I find that to be evidence of Charles Pfister's charm as a Milwaukeean. Players like Bryce Harper, Giancarlo Stanton, and Justin Upton have publicly discussed having their clothes thrown around the room, furniture being moved, or the radio randomly turning on. Stanton compared to being in the Haunted Mansion at Walt Disney World and its creepiness. In 2013, Michael Young, then a member of the Texas Rangers, recalled an experience he had at the hotel in a story for ESPN the magazine. Now, I'm going to use the F-bomb here because that's what he said. Oh, fuck that place, he said. Listen, I'm not someone who spreads ghost stories, so I'm telling you this. It happened. A couple years ago, I was lying in bed after a night game, and I was out. My room was locked, but I heard these footsteps inside my room stomping around. I'd heard all these stories about this hotel, so I was wide awake at that point. And then I heard it again. Then footsteps on the floor, so I yelled out, hey, make yourself at home. Hang out. Have a seat. But do not wake me up, okay? After that, I didn't hear a thing for the rest of the night. I just let him know he was welcome, that we could be pals, that he could marinate in there for as long as he needed to, just as long as he didn't wake me up. Now, give me a second while I get some water, because my mouth is drying out. Because you know what happens when I talk too much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there's the Skirvin Hotel in Oklahoma City. Now
that one baseball, I'm familiar with a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, baseball players have the Pfister, and basketball players have the Skirvin. Perhaps the most famous haunted hotel across sports, this Oklahoma City landmark has more than its fair share of believers. Just ask Tim Hardaway Jr. or Eddie Curry or Meta World Peace and his then Los Angeles Lakers teammates, or just about anyone who has played on a team facing the Thunder in Oklahoma City. Some players even refuse to stay there and book and pay for their own lodging when in town. Brooklyn Nets star Kyrie Irving is so convinced of supernatural activity, he's currently producing a movie about it, and many players have blamed it for their lackluster performances at the Chesapeake Energy Arena. Jeff Provine is the author of several books about Oklahoma City and the state's haunted history, excuse me, as well as the founder of OKC Ghost Tour. Despite his resume, he calls himself skeptical by nature, but acknowledges there have just been too many strange happenings at the hotel to simply be a coincidence. I border on cynicism naturally, but I've talked to so many people over the years who have no reason to lie, he said. They all have very specific details as to what they've seen. Something is definitely going on there. After the oil bust of the 1980s, the Skirvin closed in 1988 after decades of prominence. Once the epitome of wealth and status in Oklahoma, it sat empty for 19 years before reopening it after a large renovation project in 2007. Ghost stories began emerging during its closure as it sat there, a massive abandoned building in the heart of the state's capital city, ripe for trespassing and rumors. Many referred to the ghost of a woman named Effie as the primary spirit to walk the halls. As legend goes, the hotel's founder and owner, W.B. Skirvin, had an affair with a maid named Effie, who became pregnant with his child. In hopes of avoiding public disgrace, he locked her in a room on the 10th floor throughout her pregnancy so she wouldn't be seen. After giving birth, she was so despondent by her situation, she jumped out the window with her baby in her arms and plunged to her death. Guests reported seeing a female ghost with long dark hair, as well as hearing a baby's cries at all hours of the night. But there isn't evidence such a woman ever existed, as Provine is quick to point out. Skirvin's wife died 3 years before the hotel opened its doors in 1911, so a relationship with another woman wouldn't have been much of a scandal. In fact, Skirvin reportedly had a reputation for being known as a womanizer and a heavy drinker, and there were said to be salacious activities happening on the hotel's then top floor. I think it goes back to the days of Prohibition, which started in Oklahoma in 1907 when we got our statehood, he said. Pardon me a second again. There we go. The Skirvin was the luxury hotel of Oklahoma City and had all these rich and famous folks coming in. And, of course, they wanted to keep them entertained. The story was that if you wanted to get a drink in downtown Oklahoma City, you could go to the top floor of the Skirvin Hotel. They had all these parties up there, and it wasn't exactly a secret. From time to time, the police had to go raid it, and when they did, they'd have to run past the front desk and up the 10 flights of stairs. The front desk would call everybody on the 10th floor and let them know the police were on the way. And if there was anything they wouldn't want them to find, they would just toss it out the window. They would send people out to pick up young ladies from around Oklahoma City to come party with these guys, so I believe these legends stem from this type of activity at the hotel. Some visitors have reported seeing spirits that look like Skirvin or his daughter, Pearlie Mesta, who became the American ambassador to Luxembourg under President Harry Truman in 1949. Other visitors don't see anyone specifically, but they feel like they are not alone. There was one guy who said he saw the foot of his mattress in the room depressed, as if someone was sitting on it, said Provine, which includes a stop outside the Skirvin on his walking tour. But there was no one there, and then it started moving up the bed like it wanted to sit right next to him or cuddle with him. He went and stayed somewhere else. And there was someone else who woke up in the middle of the night because he heard the bathroom door slam shut. He was spooked, but he decided to check out the bathroom, and in it, he finds the light on and the bathroom filled with water just to the point of spilling over. There have been so many stories like this that just have no rational explanation. That's just crazy.
You know what? It's not beyond the realm... It's not beyond the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Who knows what we disturbed?
Yeah,
who
that's
the
true.
Heck knows what we disturbed building our high rises?
Yeah.
Hell, they have a show on, I think it's Science Channel?
Uh-huh.
Called Secrets of the Underground. Mm-hmm. And they have, I forget exactly where, but they have shown whole cities and tunnels beneath the cities.
Mm-hmm.
They even have an old subway system. So you don't know what's under your feet and what's still down there.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Secrets of the Underground. That's the name of that show.
Hmm. Something to look into. All right.
Next.
Okay, well... All right, next up, we got something out of England. 5 haunted soccer stadiums in England. And one I have already mentioned, actually. It was the St. Mary's Stadium. So I will talk about the other 4, though. Let's see. That's not it. Right. Never mind. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, this is courtesy of worldstrides.com, and this was written back in 2017. 5 haunted soccer stadiums in England. A number of soccer venues carry a spooky aura around their history. In England especially, some of the most well-known stadiums have a haunted past. From experiencing supernatural phenomena to encountering ghosts around a venue, here are the 5 soccer stadiums in England. Now, like I said, one of these has already been mentioned, so I'm going to skip that one. First, we have Highbury Stadium, former home of Arsenal FC. The former home of Arsenal. Arsenal. The former home of Arsenal FC. Highbury Stadium is haunted by Herbert Chapman. Arsenal's most successful pre-war manager. He is said to have been spotted on the grounds of this former stadium with a horse that died during construction. In addition to Chapman's presence, Highbury Stadium also features the ashes of other Arsenal fans, furthering the suspicion of a supernatural presence at this site. Okay,
ooh.
I'm going to skip St. Mary's Stadium because I already talked about that one. Stadium of Light, Sunderland AFC. Years ago, staff members at the Stadium of Light spotted a dim shape in a stadium corridor. Shortly thereafter, Sunderland's then-striker Stephen Elliott witnessed the same figure, causing a number of teammates to believe the venue was really haunted. The spirit haunting this venue is believed to be a stranded 18th-century French sailor named Spotty, who would guide ships to crash into coastal rocks. Then we also have Medjedki Stadium for Reading FC. Near the home stadium of Reading FC lies the spirit of King Henry I, whose remains were discovered by archaeologists. Following these findings near Medjedki Stadium, Reading FC has seen a significant fall from grace from the English Premier League, leading some to blame the king for a losing record.
You never know.
That's true. All right, then we have Stamford Bridge, Chelsea FC. Not all haunted sports venues have a spooky ambience. Stamford Bridge has its own spirit that actually is said to bring joy to witnesses. Smiling Man is well known to Chelsea fans to bring positive outcomes to the lives of anyone who experiences him. A woman who attended a Chelsea game with her husband saw Smiling Man actually won a new car from a raffle she entered at Stamford Bridge. For any team seeking a thrill out of the unknown, booking a London soccer tour to visit any of these venues is a good idea. In my case, I need a passport.
So do I. So do I.
Ooh, all right. Now this is a good one. The Sports Planning Guide: Ghosts Lurk in Football Stadiums.
All right.
And
shoot.
Now Notre Dame I've already mentioned, so I'm going to skip over that one. Yeah, I'm going to skip that, but let's see. Like I said, I already talked about Notre Dame, so. All right, but here's some new ones. Indiana University, Mr. Plume. The state of Indiana has yet another football player haunting his alma mater, and this story is more gruesome. Michael Plume, a student at the university in 1960 and an active member of the U.S. Air Force, suffered a tragic death that remains a mystery to this day. Memorial Stadium is the second football stadium to be built on Indiana University's campus. In February of 1960, months away from its completion, 19-year-old Michael Plume was found hanging from the rafters of the incomplete west side of the stadium stands. Though it was a construction site, Plume's shoes were clean. His feet were resting in the bed of a pickup truck. His neck had been snapped, and he had been hanged by an 18-foot rope. Gruesome, we know. There are many theories surrounding Plume's death, including espionage, murder, and anti-gay sentiments. However, not one has been confirmed. Ultimately, Plume's death was ruled a suicide, but Plume's doubtful family would attempt and failed to reopen the case in 1988. Plume's ghost lingers at Memorial Stadium. Fans and stadium staff reported seeing his ghost dangling in the same location. Catch a game and keep your eyes open for Plume hanging out. Okay, that was a bad pun. Terrible. All right. Next up, Kansas State University. Nick. In the 1950s, the East Stadium that sits on top of buildings below was used as the athletic dormitory with a cafeteria on the ground level. While on the field, Kansas football player Nick suffered an injury and was rushed to the cafeteria, where he soon passed away. Today, the area where Nick died is home to the Purple Mask Theater, where Nick still hangs out. Nick can't give up his college antics. The ghost moves auditorium chairs, plays music, makes wooden boxes levitate, and spins fire extinguishers. See the game and check out campus and search for Nick. Now, here's an interesting one. Detroit Lions and New York Giants. Jimmy Hoffa. So, Jimmy Hoffa is a phantom that manages to haunt two football stadiums. Hoffa, of course, was the leader of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters Union and saw the union's highest enrollment while in charge. However, with power came many enemies, and Hoffa disappeared on July 30, 1975, from the parking lot of the Marcus Red Fox restaurant. Hoffa was never found, and many speculate that he was murdered. Hoffa was a major Detroit Lions fan, and the staff at Ford Field believe Hoffa is dead. Hoffa's voice is heard all throughout the stadium cheering on his beloved team. Meanwhile, legend links Hoffa's body to the old, now-demolished Giants Stadium. It is rumored that Hoffa's body was buried under one of the field's end zones in concrete before the stadium's demolition in 2009. Mythbusters tried and failed to find Hoffa's body in the end zones. And for the record, that episode aired February 25th, 2004. Then we have the University of Wisconsin in Madison, Camp Randall. The Wisconsin Badgers Stadium has a murky past that is begging to be heard today. The stadium's namesake, Camp Randall, was in fact a Union soldier training ground during the Civil War and nearby was a prison camp for Confederates. Many soldiers died there and still show up dressed in slings and period clothing. On the ground where students now jump around, men once trained to fight America's bloodiest battle. And guess what? There's actually one at a high school. It's Lee Williams High School in Kingman, Arizona. Hey, Janet, you hear what I said? Janet? Hello?
Hello?
I'm giving you guys a chance to talk.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm just trying to tell you that there's somewhere haunted, and it's in Kingman, Arizona.
Kingman? Oh, yep. I've heard of that place in Kingman.
Yeah, Lee Williams High School? The Pioneer Phantoms?
I haven't heard of that one before, but...
Okay, well, here it is. Lee Williams High School in Kingman, Arizona is now situated on the grounds of an old pioneer cemetery that once held over 300 coffins of settlers and local Hualapai.
Hualapai. That's pronounced Hualapai. Native American.
Hualapai. Right. Part of the high school's football field and bleachers now stands on that hallowed ground in the old pioneer cemetery. During renovations in 2010, construction workers ran across a nasty surprise. In a trench dug behind the bleachers, seven coffins and artifacts were unearthed. These ghosts, perhaps angry that their resting place had been disturbed, present themselves at games and graduations. A man in a bowler hat and a little girl demanding to go out and play are the most prominent apparitions. Feelings of unease, disembodied voices, and light orbs are other unexplained paranormal activity.
You would think it would be more Native American spirits. Since
yeah.
It's their hallowed grounds that has been disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's interesting, seeing like there's more haunted football, there's more haunted sports locations than you would have imagined.
Uh-huh. This isn't exactly a sports location, but it's where you could get it on after, and that's the hotel in Oatman.
Uh-huh.
That place is supposed to be haunted, too, but we're getting a little bit off track. Go ahead.
That's all right. Let's see. Oh, here's a good one. 31 sports stadiums most likely to be haunted.
Oh, yes.
I'm afraid to ask what you two are chuckling at.
Just
31 sports stadiums?
Yeah. 31. That's pretty good. Now, if it's what I've already said,
I wonder if they have 31 flavors of ice cream to go with it.
Baskin-Robbins does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
I was being a wise ass saying that.
All right, now this was written 3 years ago on August 25th, 2016 by John Bueller. This is from fansided.com. So not bad. Let's see. 31 most likely places that could have a paranormal presence. For generations, sports have unified families across the United States. They bring together fathers, sons, mothers, and daughters to root for their favorite teams. They give us something to talk about with our aunts and uncles at Thanksgiving, and most important, they offer us a target for our anger that isn't each other. So the pleasure and pain that come with cheering for your favorite team is something we all understand. We've all celebrated victory and walled in soul-crushing defeat. Some years are better than others, but there is and there will always be next year. The attachment many Americans feel toward their sports teams is an unwavering lifelong commitment. For some, it might even be more than a lifelong commitment. With so much passion packing stadiums around the country, would it really be a surprise if a few fans continue to cheer for their teams in the afterlife? In addition to all those fans, plenty of stadiums in the U.S. have been around for generations themselves, and that's a lot of time to develop some kind of supernatural presence, right? Well, thanks to years of overwhelming excellence and or years more of psychologically torturous failure, here are the 31 U.S. stadiums most likely to be haunted. Okay, and I'm not going to read them all, but let's see. Oriole Park at Camden Yards. So
that's Jersey, isn't it?
No, Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, but anyway, let's see. While the Orioles did most of their winning at Old Memorial Stadium, Camden Yards has a lot of ghoulish potential thanks to the B&O warehouse and pedestrian-only Utah Street behind right field. Okay, here we go. Deceased Marylanders have been hanging out at Utah Street to catch the O's playing on summer evenings. Vanderbilt University Memorial Gymnasium. Interesting.
Okay.
Let's see. When the Memorial Gymnasium was being built back in the 1950s, there was some disagreement among distinguished alumni about whether the school should de-emphasize its athletics program or keep on trucking in the SEC. Despite being the smallest and only private school in the SEC, Vanderbilt continues to hold its own in collegiate athletics. Let's see. Memorial Gymnasium is both quirky and beloved by Commodore Nation. Would esteemed late sports writer Grantland Rice ever take the time to see his Commodores duke it out on the hardwood? The odd configuration of the Memorial Gymnasium and the aristocratic vibe of Vanderbilt in general only adds to the belief in its basketball venue could harbor ghosts.
Yeah, but are they friendlies? Are they playful poltergeists or ghosts? And sorry, Tim, if I used it in the wrong context.
Okay, let's see. Kinnick Stadium, home of the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Really?
Yes.
Even I did not know that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep, let's see. The main reason Kinnick Stadium has haunted potential is the man for who it's named, 1939 Heisman Trophy winner Niall Kinnick. Kinnick was everything for the Hawkeyes in the late 30s, but tragically lost his life in 1943 at the age of 24. Now, Kinnick has to be smiling from somewhere in his stadium when his Hawkeyes take on rivals like Iowa State, Wisconsin, or Nebraska. No doubt he's enjoyed seeing Iowa football succeed in the decades after his death.
Excuse me.
Okay. Let's see. Hilton Coliseum for Iowa State University. Let's see. In-state rival Iowa might have a football legacy to make Iowa State fans purple with jealousy, but the Cyclones have themselves one of the best basketball arenas in the country. Hilton Coliseum has an aura that can turn so-so Cyclones teams into unstoppable behemoths at home. Let's see, the Cyclones' home court advantage certainly has a supernatural feel to it. Iowa State basketball rose to national prominence in the 1980s and early 1990s under legendary head coach Johnny Orr, who coined the term Hilton Magic to describe the effect Iowa's home court had on its team. The Cyclones have been one of the better teams on the hardwood of the Big 8 or Big 12 for the last 30 years. Orr passed in 2013, but he has surely been back to his old haunt to experience some of that Hilton magic.
You never know, do you?
Nope. Let's see. Ooh, Vaught-Hemingway Stadium in Mississippi. Ooh. Let's see. Given that the stadium is over 100 years old and is home to a team that plays college football in rural Mississippi in the Fanatical SEC Conference, there's a good chance Vaught is not the only fan from the afterlife who shows up in Oxford for all on fall Saturdays to see the Rebels play. See, it's named for Johnny Vaught, who helped the Rebels win three national championships, 1959, 1960, and 1962. Let's see, despite not being a top-tier program for much of the last 50 years, Ole Miss has a tailgating culture unlike anything else in college basketball. Every college football diehard should make the trek to the Grove. Add in the ghost of former defensive back and Ole Miss icon Chucky Mullins, who was tragically paralyzed after a hit in the Rebels' homecoming game against rival Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss Vaught-Hemingway Stadium has to go down as one of those most likely to be haunted. The only thing keeping Vaught-Hemingway Stadium from moving higher on the list is the fact that the Rebels haven't done much winning since the early 1960s, at least enough to bring some recent generations of Hotty Toddy Nation back from the dead. Let's see. Ooh, how about this one? Ralph Wilson Stadium, the home of the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh.
Oh, let's see. The Pegula family wanted to rid itself of the moniker Ralph Wilson Stadium and chose to sell the naming rights to New Era. The stadium is now known as New Era Field. But while selling the naming rights was probably a smart financial move on the market's franchise, we must not forget that Wilson was the original owner of the Bills. He is no longer with us, but must occasionally venture back to his old stomping grounds in Orchard Park. Changing the name of the stadium merely years after his death is not good karma for the Bills. Couldn't the stadium have been rebranded as New Era Field at Ralph Wilson Stadium? Not only is Wilson likely to come back, he's probably a little angry. And who can blame him? Let's see. Bloomington Assembly Hall at Indiana University. So let's see. They had some national championships under Branch McCracken. I like that, Branch McCracken. Let's see. McCracken has almost certainly seen a few games at Assembly Hall from the afterlife. If basketball is religion in Indiana, then it stands to reason the legendary coach enjoys hanging out in the state's great house of worship. See, views are obstructed by the overhanging scoreboard at half court, but it's all about the atmosphere at Assembly Hall. McCracken seems like a benevolent sort of spirit to have in the arena. But once Knight's ghost joins the party, it will not be a surprise to see a few cheers slide across the court, seemingly of their own accord. Who could that be? Let's see. Angel Stadium in Los Angeles. The singing cowboy himself, Gene Autry, once owned the team. He has his number retired in Anaheim, and for whatever reason, and no doubt he's there sometimes to keep Mike Socia and that never-ending contract in check. It could happen. Let's see. Then there's Tiger Stadium, not in Detroit, but at LSU. Louisiana State University. Let's see. Of course, it's also known as Death Valley. Louisiana features a mix of Cajun and Creole culture where the Caribbean and French influences combine to create a cultural gumbo like anything else on earth. There is surely some Tiger fan around Baton Rouge putting a voodoo curse on visiting teams, giving LSU a distinct advantage at home. That may sound a little crazy, but that's just kind of how Louisiana works. There's no specific LSU alum haunting Tiger Stadium, but there are enough freaky goings-on in the area that we can be pretty confident that there's some supernatural presence around the place. It's called Death Valley, for crying out loud. That's true. That is absolutely true. All right. Then we have Dodger Stadium. It's the third oldest the third oldest park behind Fenway Park and Wrigley Field. It's the oldest park west of the Mississippi. Let's see. All right. The fact Dodger Stadium is located where so many families used to live means there are a whole lot of poltergeists potentially interested in paying a visit. They may not be able to enjoy a Dodger dog anymore, but they might be enticed by the opportunity to hear the sweet voice of Vin Scully for one final season. Of course, I think Scully died, so... I could be wrong, but I'll look at that later. Okay, then we have First Energy Stadium in Cleveland. Let's see. The city's 50-year championship curse may now have been lifted, but that doesn't mean there isn't some other malevolent spirit hanging around First Energy. There aren't many other explanations for how much of a disaster the Browns team is. Neither Quicken Loans Arena nor Progressive Field give off the kind of ominous vibe First Energy does. If there is still a sports poltergeist left in Cleveland, there is no question it resides at First Energy Stadium. Then there's FedEx Field home to the Redskins. Let's see. The spirits at FedEx may not have liked Griffin undermining his former head coach Mike Shanahan and only responding to owner Snyder. Current quarterback Kirk Cousins seems more of a homophobe than Griffin. But if he gets a big head for whatever reason this fall, the ghost at FedEx might choose to knock him and his teammates down a peg in January. All right, then we have TD Garden in Boston, a.k.a. the Boston Garden.
Ooh.
So, let's see. Though the Bruins have won their first year of Stanley Cups, the Celtics are the most decorated NBA franchise with 17 NBA championships. Boston loves its sports teams, and its fans love to heckle the opposition. TD Garden makes the list because it's still likely to harbor a few of the old ghosts that found their way to the Boston Garden. Even at TD Garden, both the Bruins and Celtics have won championships. The Bruins won the 2011 Stanley Cup, and the Celtics won the 2008 NBA Finals. Winning is part of Boston sports culture, and no doubt, late Bostonians make the trek to the Garden to see their teams playing on cold winter nights. All right, the next up is the Georgia Dome. Of course, now that is no longer there. All the games will be played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. After the Cavaliers won the NBA championship, Atlanta moved up fourth on the list of cities with the longest championship droughts. People have actually died reaching for foul balls at Atlanta's Turner Field. Now that no longer exists either. And it took the Atlanta Hawks 9 years to make the NBA playoffs after relocating to Phillips Arena. But the most cursed stadium in Atlanta has to be the Georgia Dome. Like Turner Field, the Georgia Dome is about to enter its final year of hosting a professional sports franchise. Its primary occupant, the NFL's Atlanta Falcons, moved into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I should know. It was under construction when I went to the Heroes and Villains Fan Fest in 2016. Turner Field will be the home of Division I's Georgia State Panthers, and the Braves travel north of I-75 to New SunTrust Park in nearby Cobb County. It isn't just the Falcons that have had tough luck in the Georgia Dome. One area of the field has been a particular demon in three events. The Georgia Bulldogs lost the 2012 SEC Championship as time expired on the Alabama Crimson Tide's 5-yard line. 5 yards back at that, the Falcons missed out an opportunity on their second Super Bowl in the same 2012 season, blowing a 17-0 halftime lead to the San Francisco 49ers. Even the United States men's national team suffered an embarrassing home loss in the Georgia Dome to Jamaica in the CONCACAF Gold Cup Finals in 2015. In that game, Jamaica scored an easy goal when goalie Brad Guzan failed to properly set up his wall for a free kick. Any Atlanta native knows that something absolutely horrible had to have happened on the end zone when Union General William Tecumseh Sherman burnt the city to the ground during the Civil War in 1864. That spot in the Georgia Dome is the most cursed patch of real estate in the southeastern United States. Falcons fans can't leave; they can't wait to leave it behind. Let's see. Then there's Kyle Field at Texas A&M. Excuse me a second. I'll drink some water again. Now, it's the birthplace of the 12th man. And basically what happened was in 1922, E. King Gill became the first ever 12th man, literally. And who says to say he hasn't returned from the grave a few times to cheer on his team from the sidelines? Plus, the Aggies midnight yell practices on Thursday nights before crucial home games have a religious aura to them, which helps add to the mystique surrounding Kyle Field. This is prime real estate for ghosts. Let's see, number 16. This one doesn't surprise me. Yankee Stadium. Yeah, so, let's see. The Yankees are the most decorated team in MLB with 27 World Series titles. Their most recent came in their first year at the new Yankee Stadium in 2009. Within a year, longtime owner George Steinbrenner passed away. He isn't the only one who's going to be haunting that stadium, though. The amount of history tied to the great success of the Yankees isn't like anything else in American professional sports. Let's see. Though the new stadium itself doesn't have a history of the original, there's still a good chance some former Yankee spirits ventured to the Bronx on summer evening and watched their favorite team in pinstripes play ball. Oh, here's a good one. The Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans.
Okay.
Yep, so... let's see. New Orleans is one of America's great party destinations, but the Superdome also has many displaced Louisianans in the devastating aftermath of Hurricane Katrina in 2005. The stadium is old and it has seen too much for there not to be a few spirits hanging around in place, which is true. Okay, now we've only got 9 minutes left, so I'm just going to get to the brunt of this real quickly. We have Soldier Field. There are at least two ghosts there. Star running back Walter Payton and Mr. Everything himself, George Halas. Sweetness. Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. Okay. Late Raiders owner Al Davis probably views Raider games from Mount Davis, the upper deck of the Coliseum he forced Alameda County to build for him to return to the Bay Area from Los Angeles in 1995. Late Athletics owner Charlie Finley, known for being especially frugal, probably shadows general manager Billy Bean everywhere he goes, trying to win baseball games with a laughably low payroll. Then, of course, there's the world-famous Wrigley Field.
Chicago.
Yep.
Chicago, yep.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Is Wrigley Field haunted? There could be. It very well could be. Three ghosts probably hang out there, enjoying matinees in the friendly confines on spring and summer days. Longtime voice of the Cubs, Harry Carey. Holy cow. I remember him a lot. Hall of Fame third baseman Ron Santo and Hall of Fame shortstop Ernie Banks. Wrigley Field would be higher on the list the Cubs could ever win. Of course, they ended up winning the World Series in 2016. Then we have the Palestra in Philadelphia. And it's home to the Penn Quakers since 1927. Let's see. Given how much collegiate basketball means to Philadelphia, it seems unlikely a few late fans of the city's Big Five teams haven't stumbled into the Palestra to cheer on either the Quakers, the Wildcats, the Explorers, the Owls, or the Hawks. Then we've got Fenway Park. Let's see.
Next.
Yeah, that's hold on. Ted Williams, let's see. It could be the Yawkey family, Ted Williams, or really any passionate Bostonian sports fan to spend a day at Fenway Park in the afterlife. All right. Now, this is a shock for me. Bryant-Denny Stadium. And, obviously, I would not be surprised if Bear Bryant somehow is haunting the place. So, let's see. Next, Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. Could there be ghosts over there? The stadium's winning history across several different sports means more than just late Trojan fans may choose to fight on in the afterlife. With the Rams returning to the City of Angels, late fans of the old Los Angeles Rams will be excited to particularly to see them this fall. Let's see. Next up is something that isn't too far away. The Rose Bowl in Pasadena. Let's see. There's just something about the way the California sunset hits the Rose Bowl late in the fourth quarter of the iconic game. Around dusk, legends of Rose Bowl's past certainly add to the aura of the one-of-a-kind football stadium in Southern California. Then we have Allen Fieldhouse. That's the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's see. There's no doubt the ghosts of James Naismith and Allen come back to Lawrence to see shining examples of how the game of basketball is meant to be played. Then we have Notre Dame Stadium, which I already talked about when we went for the Gipper and such, so I will skip that one. Number four, Lambeau Field in Green Bay.
Oh, my. Green Bay Packers.
Yes. There could be several spirits that reside at Lambeau Field on fall and winter Sundays. Three that immediately come to mind are Curly Lambeau, Vince Lombardi, and Reggie White. All three men have impactful legacies in Green Bay. But the Packers have even a halfway decent team, they're awfully hard to beat at home. Could a supernatural presence be aiding them? That's not out of the realm of possibility. Then we have the Hinkle Fieldhouse at Indiana University. And basically, I'm not going to talk about this because we basically had that one already. The next up is Beaver Stadium at Penn State University. So let's see. No late player coaching American sports is likely to watch their former play than Joe Paterno. He may have passed away in 2012 from lung cancer, but there's no doubt he's very much alive at Beaver Stadium. And finally, I've had a pretty good idea this was it. Madison Square Garden at the top.
Okay.
So, spirits residing there are a lot of them probably paid the first living visit to the arena in days of the former Big East basketball tournament. The realignment of conferences caused many of the Big East football schools to leave the program, play the conference, but it was for a time renegade conference that routinely dominated the sport. So, if someone was able to venture into the Big Apple to see the Knicks play at MSG in their lifetime, they almost certainly took a trip in the afterlife. The aura of MSG is nothing like the rest of the country. And that's it. We have about little less than 3 minutes now. Not bad.
Man, that's such a good, Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Yeah. Because think about it. You would never suspect sports stadiums to have paranormal activity. But it turns out there's a lot more than we thought.
How would you like to be sitting at one of your sports games and then have a spirit come up and start messing with your head?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it would be a little unnerving.
Yeah, I mean, at first it would be. It's like, oh, if you're here to enjoy the game, sit back and relax. I wouldn't worry about that. That was pretty cool, finding all those different stadiums around the world that are actually haunted.
Yeah. There may be a lot more that didn't make the list, though.
That's true. That is absolutely true. You're right. But anyway, just a quick update. Tomorrow, of course, is the Thursday free-for-all, and Friday is the All-Out Review and Naughty Mad Lib Show. Most people are not. Right, Tim?
Right.
Bring them all. Bring it.
I am bringing all the naughties.
Yes. These are NC-17 Mad Libs. So do not let the kids listen to this. This is not something for them. They should be in bed. If you don't want to hear it, don't bother listening. Okay? Because we will get naughty here. Really.
We're going to do the fucks, the dams, the assholes, the vaginas, the penises, and everything else in between.
Correct.
That's right.
Correct. So now it's time to wrap this up. I'm just going to say, please remember to follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and follow us at our website, beyondtheairwaves.weebly.com. If you ever miss an episode, there are three ways to catch up and mustard. First, there's the Stitcher.com.
Don't forget the mayonnaise.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't resist doing that. But you can use the Stitcher.com app on iTunes, Google Play, and the Amazon Kindle store. Second, you can listen to or download full episodes of the show from blogtalkradio.com. And finally, you can find us on iTunes. Just do a search on the podcast for Beyond the Airwaves, and you'll find many of our episodes there. So with that in mind, I'm going to say love, peace, and chicken grease. Everybody have a great night. Sleep well. Stay safe. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday free-for-all. Thank you, Ghost Hack.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That is all for tonight. Have a great night. And remember...
I almost had him. I almost had him. You stuttering prick, you.
Shut up!
And I get this.
I am Groot.
Mm-hmm.
I am Groot.
Uh-huh.
I am Groot.
Oh, shit!
Somebody catch that fucking little twig, will you? And last but not least...
We are going to make America great again.
No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. 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 Hell no. No. No.
All right. That's it for tonight. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow. Night, y'all.
Jana, everybody.
Jana.
Buenas noches, mis amigos.